Welcome, this is Josh Rees with Mile High Church in Lakewood, Colorado. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast today. For more information about our church, please visit our website, milehighchurch.org.
So, our topic today is Faith in the Way Things Are, Part 2. So, we're looking into the rich treasure trove of insights in a phrase accredited to Lao Tzu in the Tao. Be content with what you have. Have faith in the way things are. When you realize that nothing is lacking, the whole world belongs to you. I remembered also another person, Ashley Brilliant. He wrote these hysterical cartoons. And in one of them, he has a person saying, I want to experience every aspect of life, but I want them all to be pleasant. But when life doesn't seem so pleasant, it's difficult to have faith in the way things are. I know that. And so then our tendency is to resist, to resent, and to regret the circumstances, the situations, sometimes the people that we're having in our experience. Mostly, as we said last week, because we have a deep fear that we do not have access to true power in our lives. And thus we assume that the people in the situations we're facing have the power to limit our good and to run our life. Okay? But it's a transforming moment when we realize that people in situations ultimately only have the power that we give them. And that we can then move out of contention with them and open to our true power, our true inner power in this life, that we might then be highly creative and guided into the greater good that wants to come forth. Because we also established last week that God in the universe is always working for our greater good. It's always working to evolve us, to grow us. We get in the way, but we don't have to. We can learn to receive and actualize these blessings in our life. And one other reminder from last week. We establish that faith in the way things are is equally faith in who you are, that they are partners, two sides of the same coin, if we're really going to develop this power. And so we're constantly needing to remind ourselves of who, in fact, who we are in spiritual truth. And the ways we do that is, first of all, to wake up. Wake up to what we're doing in our thinking and how we're characterizing and interpreting situations and people in our life. And at the same time also wake up to the truth of our being, that we are spiritual beings, creative and more powerful than we know, especially when we co-create with this powerful good in the universe. And having awakened to that, then we can heal up. We can heal up. We can move ourselves out of the clenches of fear and limitation, negation, separation, that we then might open up. Open up to our true power and open up to the possibilities that are always available no matter what's going on in our life. That's when we're ready to stand with faith in the way things are. Now, as we move forward with this, what's happening is that we're embracing a distinctly different basis for change and improvement in our life. Very much different. The former approach is to rail against what's going on, the problems, the challenges, the things we don't like, to rail against them, to feel diminished or discouraged by those situations, to feel intimidated and limited and blocked by all that seems to be going on in our life. Faith in the way things are moves us out of that, out of living at the effect of situations, people's problems. Move out of the effect of, and we then move from misery to mastery in our lives. Because here's the thing, you and I, we determine the content of our state of mind. Not problems, not situations. We determine our consciousness, all right? And our position in consciousness is one of the most important factors in our life. Dr. Murray Banks wrote, as you ramble on through life, whatever be your goal, keep your eyes on the donut and not upon the hole. So we're shifting away from what we think is lacking and not to acknowledging that something can come forth for our good. Now, I know that there are times we talk about faith and the way things are, and some might say, well, that seems like a kind of passive approach in this life. Or as one person told me, I feel like we'd be sheep in this life. But here's the deal. To have faith in the way things are is not to be resigned to things, but to develop and maintain a more expansive and powerful view of things so that something great can come forth for us. All right? We can still declare that something is unacceptable while having faith. Faith that within it is the possibility for generating something better and higher. Okay? So then, rather than fighting actualities, we start courting possibilities. Rather than our energy being depleted into fighting what is, we start energizing what can be. And thus, we become less reactors to conditions and more creators of a vision. And after all, isn't that what our founding fathers and mothers of our country did? Yeah, I know that they found the tyranny of Britain and the taxation and the monarchy to be unacceptable, and they wanted relief. But what really impelled them forward was the vision they had, the vision that got birthed out of that, the vision for a system of government based on the sanctity of the individual life, a system that honored the plurality and the diversity of religions, of democracy and representative government, of a free market system that could stimulate and support the creativity inherent in every person. That's the great power that they had, not just anger at what was, but being compelled by this possibility that wanted to come forth. And we can do the same in our own individual lives and together. So I want to leave you today with five more keys to hold in this, five more in addition to the five I shared with you last Sunday. And the first key is that situations and experiences are temporary. Decisions chart our course. Boy, I have to challenge myself when I'm up against something to remind myself this too shall pass. It's not here to stay. Everything must change, Cheryl sang so gloriously to us. And so it helps me to remember this is going to change. And it's going to move in my experience and evolve to the degree that I take my power away from it and open to something greater in my life. All right? Because this has within it the possibility for something greater. Every problem actually contains its answer. In the Course in Miracles, it says God answers every problem the moment it occurs. And in the AA material, it says every problem comes bearing its own solution. So if there's a problem there, the answer is there too. It just needs to be uncovered. It needs to be discerned. It needs to be evoked and invoked in our life. So we can have faith in the way things are because they're on their way to becoming more. And we're not stuck with them forever. And they start to move when we move. And remember that our creative capacity in this life is based on decision. When we make a binding decision with ourselves, an unequivocal, non-negotiable decision, especially a decision for a possibility greater than what we're seeing in our life, the universal machinery goes to work to help us manifest that. And to claim our power of decision and to move out of victim consciousness and to decide what we're going to think, to decide to reframe a situation as rather than a swamp, but as a lush ground for growth, that's where our power, our creative capacity shifts in. In the Bible it says, choose this day whom you shall serve, God or mammon. Now mammon is an old phrase that means the things of the world the material dimension, the worldly. So every day, every moment, we're choosing. Am I going to align my awareness with possibility, with spirit, with love? Or am I going to get sucked into aligning with the broadcasts and reports of the world and my own old stuff coming up? Choose this day. Decision charts our course. Raymond Charles Barker, like the right-hand person to Dr. Ernest Holmes, a fabulous New Thought Science minder, great teacher in New York. He wrote a great book called The Power of Decision. In it, he says, nothing is impossible to those who decide on possibility. So our challenge when we're facing something is, am I going to decide on possibility here? Or get dragged down in living at the effect of this, feeling victimized by this? Decide on possibility. And then he says, the moment you decide to live a richer life, your consciousness will devise the ways and means of your having it. What are you deciding about what's going on? An elder care nurse wrote a beautiful tribute and experience that she had. She is 92 years old, petite, well-poised, and proud. She is fully dressed each morning by 8 o'clock, and her hair fashionably coiffed, in spite of the fact she is legally blind. Today, she has moved to a nursing home. Her husband of 70 years recently passed away, making this move necessary. After hours of waiting patiently in the lobby of the nursing home where I'm employed, she smiled sweetly when told her room is now ready. As she maneuvered her walker to the elevator, I provided a visual description of her tiny room, including the eyelet curtains that had been hung on her window. I love it, she stated with the enthusiasm of an 8-year-old having just been presented with a new puppy. Well, Mrs. Jones, I said, you haven't even seen the room. Just wait. Then she spoke these words I will never forget. That does not have anything to do with it, she gently replied. Happiness is something you decide on ahead of time. Whether I like my room or not does not depend on how the furniture is arranged. It is how I arrange my mind. I have already decided to love it. I have a choice. It's a decision I make every morning when I wake up. I can spend the day in bed recounting the difficulty I have with parts of my body that don't work as well, or I can get out of bed and be thankful for the ones that do work. Every day is a gift, and as long as my eyes open, I will focus on the new day and all of the happy memories I've stored away just for this time in my life. Wake up, heal up, and open up. Make a choice. The second key, things are the way they've been created to be. Now, this is really important. Nothing shows up at any level of life that isn't first an idea. It's impossible. That's the creative process in the universe. And God said, let there be in the mind of God, and there was in form. And you're created, I'm created the same way. When we say, let there be, it can show up in form. Problem is, sometimes we don't know what we're saying, let there be. Some of it's unconscious. Some of it's staying susceptible to what everybody else is thinking and letting it use us or guide us. Sometimes we don't always stand at the portal of our life and choose well. But one thing is true. That which is in our life has a message for us that can help us refine our awareness, can help us move to higher ground in our thinking and in our choosing. And so it's important to say this is in place because something in awareness, mine or the world, created it, and now I get to work with that creatively in this life. So we wake up. We heal up and we open up. And the third key is a partner to this one. Life experiences always come bearing gifts. There's always a gift at the heart of even the most difficult of experiences. And I know it's very normal to hurt when something comes along that hurts us, to feel wounded at times, to feel dispirited at times. That's a part of our journey, and we have to have a lot of self-compassion. And yet, at times, we have to get rigorous with ourselves and say, enough is enough. It's time for me now to climb out of this and look for the gift of growth and new possibilities that is in this situation I'm experiencing. And if we'll look, it'll be there. I remember at a time when I had just completed my first year in the ministry at the ripe old age of 25. And I had taken a small little group in Portland, Oregon, as most of you know, and it had kind of doubled by that time, even in fact a little more. But I was working hard. I had no staff. I had a few loyal volunteers, but they needed direction too. And I was working 6 days a week. I'd take Mondays off. But I had no time for another life, and I had nobody in my life. And you know, I knew at that point in life you don't date people in your congregation. Although I wouldn't be married now if I hadn't done that 33 years ago. But I was felt as I did it, and it all worked out great. But back then, I felt lonely. And it was eating at me. It was all about the church, and didn't have any friends outside the church or anything like that. And I remember one Monday, my day to catch a breath, I walked down this beautiful walk by the Willamette River, which cuts right down the middle of Portland. And I just slumped down on a bench by the river and watched going on and was feeling sorry for myself and wondering, how can I keep going in this? I mean, I love what I'm doing, but I don't have a life. And then all of a sudden I saw this enormous barge floating down the river. It was piled high with shipping containers. And it had this puny little tugboat at the other end that was effectively pushing it down the river, though it weighed probably hundreds and hundreds of tons. And I studied that, and all of a sudden the light went on. Wake up, heal up, and open up. The light went on, and I realized, wow, I'm struggling with a sense of burden because I'm out of the flow. I've moved out of the flow, and I got to get back in the flow. This doesn't have to be that hard. But I got to know where the power is. There's a power that can make it easy. And then I had an inspiration. I had a realization that I was the one creating loneliness. Now, in fact, I was alone, although I had my congregation, but I was alone in the other areas of my life. But that didn't mean that I had to feel lonely. That was my creation. I created the self-pity, the futility, the sense of futility and victimhood around that, the sadness. I created all that. And I decided, okay, I'm going to have faith in what is. What is I'm alone in that part of my life. And I'm no longer lonely. And I'm going to move back into the flow. And I used that as a deepening time. And it felt like I was freed and healed. Then I could open up. And my life got so much easier, and things flowed, and the church grew, and my life got more evolved. And so there is a gift. If we'll wake up, heal up, and open up. And the fourth key is that faith in the way things are transforms our use of prayer. Sometimes I fear that we lapse into a kind of prayer that's a metaphysical abracadabra. It's like we pray, think, I'm gonna disappear this situation and appear this. And that's why I pray. Well, the good news is prayer can change things. But that's not the purpose of prayer. Prayer is to return us to the kingdom of ever-expanding good. Prayer is to remind us of our oneness. Prayer is to heal and to awaken our consciousness. And then things can change. And when we are choosing faith in the way things are, then we know the thing to do is get back to the power zone within, that we can then envision something greater and open to that. Ernest Holmes said it so beautifully, faith is a state of spiritual understanding. One cannot be a good student of the science of mind and spirit who is filled with fear and confusion. He must keep himself in a state of equilibrium, in a state of poise, peace, and confidence, in a state of spiritual understanding. And by spiritual understanding is not meant anything strange or unnatural, but merely that the belief in goodness and possibilities must be greater than any apparent manifestation of its opposite. Hear that last part again. That the belief in goodness and possibilities must be greater than any apparent manifestation of its opposite. So we let our belief grow beyond what is. That's why we can have faith in what is. We wake up, we heal up, we open up. And then finally, faith in the way things are, it awakens our hearts. I've seen in my life that I really further get stuck when my heart closes. But it's a natural thing. When we feel confronted, we feel surprised, shocked, upset, it's a safety mechanism that we close our hearts as we shield ourselves in many ways. But I also know that the flow of inspiration, of comfort, of courage, and inner power only happens when I open my heart. In the very midst of the difficulty, the very midst of what I'd like to see changed, the challenge is I get to open my heart. In the Bible, it says, all things work together for good for those who love God. And then in another place, it says, God is love. So it's like the machinery of things working out happens when we return to love. The love that God is, the love that we are. And so to stand with faith in the way things are is to have that open-hearted realization that life is so much bigger than the way things are. There's so much more potential than what is. What is temporary. I choose a deeper faith than that. I choose a more expansive vision, even though I don't know what form it's going to take or how it's all going to get woven together by the universe. But it's amazing how the power we use weaves things together in ways we could never figure out or pull off. That's why I open my heart. And I stand in a space of love for life, love for the creative power working through me, love for who I am, and even love for the other, even if there's unskilled behavior going on. I stand in love that life might work through me. And then also, it occurs to me that I not only can have faith in the way things are, I can serve. I can find a way to make a difference in the face of whatever it is or whoever it is. I can serve. It's been moving to me to notice as we've all gone through this long time of the pandemic that many people, once they got their sea legs, did reach out to serve. They'd call friends, called people they know were alone, shut in, needing support or a voice, and doing whatever they could do. There was a whole lot of that going on. It's a beautiful thing. It's just like we say, let's wear masks just to be safe. Because with our hearts open, it's not about a self-focus. It's about all of us. And how can I contribute to you and to me and to everybody? Our hearts are open. I was moved to read that in April of 2020, at the headwaters of this pandemic, in Cape Town, South Africa, there had been, in the years previous, a lot of gang warfare going on. These various gangs killing one another and others, and a lot of violence. However, in April of 2020, a phenomenal thing occurred. The gangs declared a truce. No more fighting. No more killing. And they came together, as never had happened, so they could be a part of delivering food and supplies and medicines. And they were well equipped because they knew every square inch of that city and most everybody in it. And so they came together. Now, there would be those who had said, that would never be possible. I have learned not to say that about me or about anything, because everything is possible. And thus we can wake up, heal up, open up, and stand in faith in who we are as an outlet for God, as a co-creator with God, as a center in infinite mind. And then we can have faith in the way things are, because something's still growing within it all. And so I want to conclude by just inviting you to voice this with me. Try it on vocally. Feel it in your body. Declare with me, I have faith in who I am. Now this time I want you to feel it. Together again. I have faith in who I am. And you're more than you know yourself to be. And also declare, I have faith in the way things are.
I have faith in the way things are.
Yeah, think about what's going on in your life, in the world, and whatever it is. But the seed of possibility wants to sprout in the midst of any and everything. So let's say it again. I have faith in the way things are. One more time. I have faith in the way things are. So be it. Let's have a prayer. May we open our hearts to the glorious good news that no matter what seems to be the invisible potential of the divine, infinite possibility lurks there, waiting for the perceptive, the discerning of spirit to call it forth, to invoke and evoke it into form. In this playground called Earth, may we choose this day to attune ourselves to possibilities, to the greater good ever pressing against us and all of life to come forth. May we choose this day to go beyond reaction and into creation. May we choose this day to love ourselves into our power, to build up, to transcend what seems to loom large. May we choose this day as luminous light beings to shine. To shine the light of the Christ, the light of the Spirit, through all that we think, say, do, or imagine. May we choose this day to re-enchant our lives and our environments. May we choose this day to believe that good things are unfolding for us and for our world, for our country, for our communities. May we work on that behalf. May we choose this day to align ourselves with the good of God, that God might be God in and through us. And as we do this, I absolutely know that our inherent wholeness of mind, body, emotions, and experience flows forth in a natural rhythm of glorious co-creation. I absolutely know that we're blessed, we're strengthened, we're upheld, that we've shifted out of a dark place into the light, and we leave here as though floating on air in lockstep with the intention of life to ever evolve and to reveal its glory. We wake up. Heal up. Oh, and we open up that God might have its way with us. And it's good and very good. Now we own this, decide for it unequivocally. We live it, and it grows us. And it is good and very good. Feel such joy for this. Claim this inward transformation. Feel the joy, the gratitude. And I bless you as you go forth from here, the living embodiment of the creative life within you. Thank you, God and Spirit, for the truth is making us free, free to be. With great joy we declare, and so it is, and so I am, and so we are. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Mile High Church podcast. This podcast is made possible by the generous contributions from listeners like you. To make a donation, please visit milehighchurch.org.